Today is Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Today we declare Jesus is alive. Amen. He's no longer in the tomb. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. He is risen on high. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's our declaration today. That's our announcement today. Now, we live 2,000 years after the events. You know, we look at these stories. We live in a cynical age. We live in an age of skepticism. We are told that if something is too good to be true, it probably is. It's too good to be true. If somebody makes you an offer that seems to you to be too good to be true, it probably is. It's a time, we live in a cynical age, we live in a skeptical age, we live in an age when there is not a theory that doesn't have a conspiracy that goes with it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the type of age that we live in. I want to say this to you. Do you think it was any different in the time of Jesus? Do you think people were any different then? I tell you, they were no different then. And the story we're talking about today is the story of the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to be looking at that and some reflections on that. But I want you to think about this story in terms of you being in the story. It's not a story you're observing from a distance, but you're living it in real time. So for us, we're looking back in time, looking at the recorded history. But for those who lived in it, it was in real time. These events were happening to them there and then. And so when they heard that Jesus had risen from the grave, I think they thought it was too good to be true. And I think if you lived there, you would have thought it was too good to be true too. You would have thought that. You would have struggled with it. Can we pray before we begin? Amen. Would you stand with me wherever you are? Whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, we just stand here as an act of respect. We stand before God. We just admit that there's someone higher than us. If you wish, would you raise your hands wherever you are? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are alive. And Lord, as we come to read your word today, we pray it would speak to our minds, speak to our hearts, speak to our souls, and speak to our experiences, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands and ask you that you would let your Holy Spirit run free. Roar to move through this room for the rest of this message in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say, amen. 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 We're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Many of you are very familiar with the story of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We're going to be picking up the story after two women who've gone to see, gone to Jesus' tomb to put spices at his tomb, who've gone to Jesus' tomb. They arrive, and as they arrive, there's an earthquake, bear with it, and an angel appears, rolls the stone away from the tomb, and speaks to the women. This is the story. As we read it, may God bless us as we read his unbelievable word. Amen. Hallelujah. The angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And the angel isn't making up a story here, because Jesus, if you read the Gospels, you see it perhaps a dozen times in the Gospels, told his disciples that he would die, he would be handed over, he would be tried, he'd be crucified, he would be buried, but on the third day, he would rise again. That's what he told them. But they couldn't hear it. They didn't understand it. They didn't really fully understand who even Jesus was at the time. But here's an important question for you. Why was it the women were at the tomb? Where were the men? Where were the big hairy disciples? Lord, I'm never going to leave you, Lord. I'm going to go all the way to the grave for you, Lord. Where were all the hairy men? They were up in the upper room going, oh no, what if the Romans catch us? It was the women who showed up at the tomb. Amen. The women who showed up. When there was nothing to be gained, the women showed up at the tomb. If any of the women say amen.
Amen.
Because it's my experience. I've been a man for a long time. And I've been married to a woman for a long time. It's my experience that when it comes to the crunch, women are more self-giving, more sacrificial, and more generous than men.
Yeah.
Would any of the men say amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I think we should just close in prayer. Would that be the best idea? Before civil war breaks out. The women are there. The angel appears, speaks to them, and it goes on to say this. And now the angel said to him, go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Remember what I have told you. And I like it because they didn't remember what Jesus told them. So the angel's saying, remember now this time what I told you. Okay, don't forget it. Tell the lads, he'll meet you in Galilee. Make sure you take that message. It goes on to say, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but they were also filled with great joy. Amen. They couldn't believe it. Like, what just happened? I mean, an angel, you go to a graveyard, and while you're at the graveyard, you're at the grave of someone, and you discover the grave is empty, and an angel appears and says, your Auntie Mary is actually risen from the grave. Do you think you'd be frightened?
Yeah.
I'd be frightened. I can tell you that, I'd be frightened. But they rushed to give the disciple the angel's message. It says this, and as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshipped him. They said, then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why were they afraid? What was it that they were seeing? They saw Jesus dead just 2 days earlier. What was it that they were seeing? Of course they were afraid. They didn't know what to make of it all. It was just, what? This just doesn't fit with any matrix of understanding of human experience of life ever. It doesn't fit with any of them. He said to them, don't be afraid. Tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. You see, here's the thing. The women, they were frightened. They were afraid. They were shocked. But they still obeyed Jesus. Yeah. They still did what Jesus said. They weren't 100% sure. They didn't have all the pieces put together. No more than you have all the pieces put together. Or I have all the pieces put together. But they still worshipped Jesus. They still fell at his feet. Not able to figure it all out. I guarantee you. They weren't able to figure it out. And it says this. We jump a small step. We're going to go down to verse 18. And here's what it says. It says the 11 disciples, remember there's only 11, Judas is gone now, there's only 11 disciples left at this stage, they go to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They left and they went to the mountain. They followed the instruction, didn't understand it, thought some of it was a bit crazy, couldn't really wrap their heads around it, and this is what it says. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. They doubted. What? How could they doubt? I mean, he's standing right in front of them and they're worshipping him, but they're kind of doubting at the same time. They're not 100% sure because while they worship, they still have doubts. Has anybody here ever worshipped while you still have some doubts?
Yeah.
Anybody here put your hand up if you've ever worshipped while you still, I can tell you, my hand is up, both hands would be up if I had a chance.
Yeah.
I've worshipped while I've done. I've doubted that maybe I'm not going to get the breakthrough that God intends. Maybe I'm not going to experience the provision I so desperately need. Maybe I'm not going to get the healing or the wholeness. Maybe I'm not going to get the accommodation I need. I've had doubts while I worship, but you worship anyway. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But they doubted. And here he is. Jesus is standing right in front of him, right? And they're worshiping him. What's going on there? Well, I can suggest to you maybe three possible reasons why they doubted. Reason one is they thought that what they were worshiping was a ghost. They thought that it wasn't really Jesus. It was some kind of apparition or some kind of spirit they were seeing. But that wasn't what was going on. Maybe another reason was that Jesus wasn't actually dead at all. He actually had really been punished badly, deeply injured, put in the tomb, and somehow miraculously revived instead of resurrected while he was in the tomb. Maybe that's what they were thinking. What's going on here? And maybe when you got to put yourself in the story, maybe they looked at him and said, he kind of looks like Jesus, but he kind of looks different. Because the last time we saw him, he was beaten and bloodied and bruised and broken. But now he kind of looks, I don't know, he looks amazing. He looks fantastic because he's raised from the dead. So maybe they thought, maybe it's not Jesus. Maybe he just resuscitated. Maybe it's just his spirit. And the reason why they would have struggled with that is they knew something. The ancients were very wise people. They knew something that you might know. And that is this. Dead people don't come back to life.
Amen.
They don't come back to life. That's what happens. Dead people have a terrible habit of staying dead. Desperate habit. If you go in to a funeral home next Tuesday, and you look around, and you go in and later on in the afternoon, you'll find that most of the people who were in there that day that are dead, they're still there. They're still there. If you go to the graveyard down in Blackrock or over in Glasheen, you'll find something interesting there as well. Most of the people who are buried there, they're still buried there. They haven't moved. They haven't budged. They know that dead people do not rise up. So as they worshipped the risen Jesus, they were doubting. They were going, this is too good to be true. They loved him. They loved him. They were brokenhearted when he was crucified. They were distraught and destroyed when he was crucified. But you know, there's something about their doubts that really is very important. Their doubts made their faith authentic. You see, when you read this verse here, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. If I was writing the gospel of a makey-uppy story of my teacher or my rabbi who had died but rose again on the third day, I wouldn't put that line in there. The writer N.T. Wright, he wrote this. He said, if you were a mid-first century Christian, telling a story about a dead Jesus that you thought was still kind of important, you would not write a story this way. Mm-hmm. See, that little line shows the authenticity of this story. Yeah. And your doubts show the authenticity of your faith. Amen. Because you know why? Dead people don't have any doubts. People who don't care about God, they don't have any doubts. They're just fine. But we, because we really want to follow him and want to know him, we struggle with doubts. Because we also live in the real world. And the Bible addresses our real world experience. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So if you have a doubt this morning, if you have doubts in your faith, can I say this to you? You're on good ground. You're on good ground. You see, we think, oh no, you mustn't. No. Doubts, I liked what Tim Keller, the late Bible teacher, said. He said, a faith that has no doubts is like a body without antibodies. You see, your doubts can do one of two things. They can undermine your faith, they can derail your faith, or they can build your faith. Instead of hiding from your doubts, don't duck your doubts, and don't deny your doubts. Confront your doubts with the truth. That's what Jesus did when he was dealing with Thomas, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. But there's something sneaky going on here as well, and it's in the Greek language. And in the Greek language, the word that we see here, the word doubted, is a word that's only used twice in the New Testament. No, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know how to look up a Greek word from the New Testament. And you see this word here, the word doubt, it's different from all the other words doubt used in the Bible. It's interesting, this word here. You see, this word is used only twice in the New Testament. The other word for doubt is used 19 times. Let me explain what I mean. So the regular word that we mean for doubt is used here, for instance, in James chapter 1. It says this, the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. The word that's used there is a Greek word, diakrino. Dia means two positions, krino means two opinions or two positions. That's literally what it means. And the inference of the word doubt there means to separate completely, to withdraw, or to oppose. The context that we're talking about here is when James says to the Christian readers, he says to them, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Can I get an amen from anyone who's received God's wisdom? And then it says this. It says, when you receive, you must not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. They separate from God's wisdom. They withdraw from God's wisdom. They even oppose God's wisdom. But the word that's used here in the story we're speaking about is a different word. But some of them doubted. The word is distazo. And it means to hesitate. It means to waver. It means to be unsure. It means that you're not 100% certain, but you're still going to do what you're going to do. You're wavering. You're not sure if Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. You're not sure if Cork are going to win the All-Ireland. You're not sure if India are going to win the Cricket World Cup. Am I reaching anybody at all? Does anybody here like sport? Anybody here like sport? Put your hand up if you like sport. Tell the truth. No, I don't like sport. You're trying to be cool. No, I don't like sport at all. You see, we deal with doubts all the time. No problem. We deal with it all the time. You know when you're sitting down to watch a game? Anybody here a Manchester United fan? We'll be laying hands on you in a minute. See, when you watch a football game and your team are 2-0 down 10 minutes into the second half, you don't go, that's it. It's all over. My week is ruined. No, you don't. What do? You wait until the 90th minute, and the 91st minute, and the 92nd minute. Do you know what I'm saying? We keep going even though we might have a doubt about them going to win. I ran a marathon once. I ran a marathon once. And I ran 26 and a half miles, whatever it is, 26.2 miles. And I ran it, but I wasn't sure that I would be able to complete it. And so I ran the first 19 miles going, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to finish this. I'm not sure. I was running a little bit faster than this, though. But I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to finish this. I was never going to win it. No, by the way, I came like 4,987th. But I'm not sure I'm going to win it. But I turned the corner out near Cork Lock, outside here. And it's one of the parishes here in Cork. As I turned the corner, I then realised that I had 8 miles to go. 8 miles left. And I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it. And so I was able to run faster and faster, and I made it to the finishing line. What a fool, I'll never do it again. Anyway. But I doubted, but I kept running.
Yeah.
I doubted, but I kept going.
Yeah.
Now, you may doubt the goodness of God or something working out in your life, but here's what I say to you. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. Keep running. Keep following. Keep worshipping. Keep praising. Keep praying. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Here's a good example of the word distazo, to hesitate, to waver, to be unsure. It's only used twice in the New Testament. Here is the other example. And it's from the story of Peter walking on the water. Now, if you're going, what? You expect me to believe that Peter walked on water? We already believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Hello? It's not that big a deal. It really isn't. So the disciples are at sea. There's a bit of a storm. They see Jesus coming. And of course, what do they think? It's a ghost. It's a human condition, isn't it? It's a ghost. Ah! But then he says, Jesus called to them. And they saw that it was Jesus on the water. And Peter said, Lord, can I walk in the water too? I love Peter's attitude. What a great attitude. Can I walk in the water too? And the rest of the disciples looked at him and went, oh my goodness. And they said, wow, walk in the water. And then Andrew turns to Thomas and says, Thomas, do you think he's going to be able to do it? And Thomas says, I doubt it. I doubt it. But then Peter gets out and he begins to walk. It says this, Peter got down out of the boat. And he began to walk on the water and came toward Jesus. It's like, why are you walking on water? But when he saw the wind, just like you, he was afraid. When he saw the conditions changing, when it looked unsure, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Brothers and sisters, if you can't pray anything, pray that.
Yeah.
Lord, save me! Yeah. It's the most important prayer you could ever pray. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
The most important prayer you'll ever pray. And it says this, that Jesus said to him, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Why did you distazo? Why did you get worried? To which I'm sure Peter thought, like, wind, waves, rain. Hello, why do you think I doubted? Jesus said to him, why did you doubt? Why did you waver? What was wrong with you? And it isn't a rebuke. It's just, why did you doubt? I was standing on the water, and if I stood on water, you can stand on water. And let me tell you something more important, brothers and sisters. If Jesus rose from the grave, you will rise from the grave. Hallelujah. In actual fact, that's the reason he rose from the grave. He's the firstborn from the dead, the scripture calls him. He is the firstborn, and it's going to happen to all of us. And we'll be able to sing with the gospel singers. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground, cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. True for him, true for me, it's true for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why were you wavering? You see, there's a difference between doubting. And there's a difference between can't believe and won't believe. And it's a really important difference. It's really, really important that we understand the difference between diacrino and distazo. The English language isn't good enough for it. I like what Henry Drummond, the Bible commentator, this is what he said about doubt. Listen to this. He said, Christ never failed to distinguish between doubt and unbelief. Remember, Jesus said many times, this is an unbelieving generation. He said, doubt is can't believe. Unbelief is won't believe. Doubt is honesty. Unbelief is obstinacy. Doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. Oh, I hope there's no one here that's content with darkness.
Amen.
Are we looking for the light, brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Are we looking for the light? Because
yeah.
Let me tell you something about the light. John said the light shines in the darkness,
yeah.
And the darkness has not, cannot, shall not, will not overcome it. Hallelujah! Will not. But that doesn't mean that you don't ain't got no doubts, man. It doesn't mean that you don't go, I don't know how this situation is going to work out. I don't know that I'm going to find someone that I can marry and love. I did. Hallelujah. But there are people here who are looking for someone that they can marry and they can love. Maybe you're wondering, am I ever going to be able to get a house? Am I ever going to be able to find accommodation of my own? We doubt that. We doubt God's provision. Sometimes we doubt God's purpose. Lord, why am I abandoning this situation in a job that I don't like, and I'm stuck with these employees that I don't like or whatever, and we're stuck in these situations. We go, Lord, will you please pull me out of it? And we wonder, when are you ever going to move? And we're doubtful about God's work in our lives. Happens to me, happens to you if you're alive. You see, the resurrection story is so powerful because of the witnesses who witnessed it. It isn't just a story made up. People saw the risen Jesus after he rose from the grave. They saw the empty tomb and they saw the living Jesus. And it is the most contested event in human history. Not the birth of Jesus. Pretty well everyone will agree. Pretty well everyone will agree. There was a guy called Jesus who was born. Not everyone will agree that he was God. They'll say, yeah, he was a good teacher, a bit of a social worker. Nearly everyone will agree that he was crucified on a Roman cross and he was executed for sedition, even though he didn't commit sedition, even though he didn't commit rebellion. He was executed for it by trumped up charges. Almost everyone will agree with that. But when you say, but did he rise from the grave on the third day? That's when we stop. Because here's the thing. If Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, hallelujah, anything is possible.
Amen.
Anything is possible.
Amen.
And your situation is possible to change.
Amen.
And your heart is possible to change. And your circumstances are possible to change. If Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, nothing in heaven or hell can stop God's work in the life of those who turn to him and look to him and lean in him and depend on him. What about the witnesses who saw him? It was beyond belief for them. It was beyond belief. Quickly flying through, you know that the earliest recorded writing of the resurrection of Jesus is not in the Gospels. The earliest recorded writing is actually in the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, written somewhere around the year 52 AD. About 52 AD, so about 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead is when the first writings about the resurrection were recorded. And they were in this letter the Apostle Paul writes, and this is what he says. He says, Christ died for our sins just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said, just like the prophet said, just like Moses said, just like the Old Testament said. It goes on to say this, he was seen by Peter and then he was seen by the 12. It goes on to say, after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. 500 of them saw him at one time. I love the next line. Most of whom are still alive, Paul says. You could walk up to a Christian believer in a church around that time and there was people in the church who actually saw the risen Jesus. Imagine it. Imagine that reality. So he says, most of whom are still alive. Does that mean, you know, 400 of them are still alive? Are 350 of them still alive? Are 90 of them still alive? They were still living people. He goes on to say this. Then he was seen by James. And this is really important. He was seen by James. Who's the James? Who's James? He saw by Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, who are you? Who was the James? This was the James. It was Jesus' own half-brother, James. You see, because Jesus' family didn't believe in him. didn't believe in him. In actual fact, if you read John's gospel, you see his brothers ridiculing him. They say to him, "Oh boy, Jesus, you want to be famous? Go up to Jerusalem and be famous. No one gets famous down here in Galilee. Go up to Jerusalem and make a name for yourself." That's what they said. At one stage, his family came while he was teaching in a house, and they said, "We want to see Jesus." It said they came to take him home because he was, as they thought, out of his mind. But here's the gig. After he rose from the dead, he appeared to his brother James. Amen. It's hard to argue with the living, breathing, flesh, blood, and bones brother that you thought was dead, who is now alive. Amen. Jesus meets us where we are at.
Amen.
Where are you at today? That's where Jesus meets us. That's where he meets us. Last of all, I love this. He says, though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Hallelujah. We'll get to that in a second, because what I want to see is, what was Paul doing when he saw Jesus? You know, I don't know about you, but there are people in my life that I would love to see come to know Jesus. There's family members that I love with all of my heart that I would die for, that I would love if they came to know Jesus personally. I really want them to. I pray for them daily. I cry out to God. I fast and pray for them. I get every opportunity I try and speak to them, though sometimes that's not always desired, wanted, expected or respected. It doesn't matter. I would love to see them come to know the Lord. And sometimes I wonder, because this is for me, I don't say, "Lord, are they ever going to turn to you? Are they ever going to know your freedom? Are they ever going to know your forgiveness? Are they ever going to know your provision? Are they ever going to know your peace? Are they ever going to know their sins forgiven? Are they ever going to know it?" And that's where I would doubt. Lord, is that it? But I know this, Jesus meets us where we're at. He'll meet the one that you love where they're at. He really will. He really will. Look at these people that Jesus met after he rose from the dead, and look at their circumstances. First, we're going to look at Mary. Mary is in the graveyard. She's at the tombs, near the tomb where Jesus, we just read the story. She looks at this guy, thinks that he's the gardener, because she doesn't recognize Jesus, not necessarily because he looks different, because she wasn't expecting to see Jesus. And she says, "Where have you put him? Where have you put Jesus?" And then it says that Jesus said her name, Mary. And when she heard her name, she said, "Rabbi!" She couldn't believe it, that he was the real deal, that was really Jesus. You see, some of our loved ones just need to hear their name being called by Jesus. You need to hear their name being called by Jesus. We'll pray about that in a minute. Is that okay? What about Clopas and his friend? Clopas and his friend, they're on the road to Emmaus. They're coming back in from the road to Emmaus back into Jerusalem. They meet Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. He walks alongside them. They say to him, "What's the matter? What are you discussing?" And they say, "Did you not hear about this fellow Jesus? We thought he was going to be the Messiah, but he was crucified and now he's dead." And they were brokenhearted. They were followers. They loved Jesus. They were followers. It says that Jesus, unknowns to them, they didn't know who he was, began to speak to them about all the prophets and the law and the Old Testament said about the Messiah, who was Jesus. And then they said, "Why don't you hang on and go for have some dinner with us?" Brothers and sisters, invite someone for dinner. Invite someone to your home for dinner. Invite someone to your home for dinner. They're going to listen to you. If you feed them, they might listen to you. It's as they break bread. It says, as Jesus broke the bread at the table, their eyes were opened and they realized, it's Jesus. And I love the next line. It says, and then he immediately disappeared. Ah! The amazing disappearing Jesus. There's a sermon in there somewhere. I'm so fairly sure of that. But as they broke bread, what about this guy? Here we go, Thomas. We all know the story of Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He is a bad name, because we just read a few moments ago that there was other disciples who also doubted. So poor old Thomas, we give it up for poor old Thomas. He doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that title. He doesn't deserve the nickname, because there were others. What were their doubts? We don't know. But we know this with Thomas. He said, do you know what? He was so sincere. His doubt was so honest, that even when everyone around him was so excited, he's alive, Jesus is alive, it's unbelievable, the girl saw him at the graveyard, he was here a few minutes ago, you missed him, Thomas, you should have been here. He said, I will not believe it, you crazy bunch of fools, until I see the holes in his hands and his side. It says Jesus appeared 8 days later and said, here you go, Thomas, have a look. I won't show you my sign. Have a look, see my hands? And it says that Thomas fell before him and said, "My Lord and my God." He saw what he needed to see. Your loved one, the person you love and long for and pray, needs to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus. I like the next one. The fisherman on the beach. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament. So, Jesus is risen. The guys have met him. And then Jesus seems to go kind of on the missing list. So seven of the disciples decide, you know what, we're going to go fishing. We must just go fishing. No, they weren't going fishing for sport. They were going fishing to eat. They went back to business. And as they're fishing, just like the story earlier in the Gospels, they're fishing all night. They catch nothing. And just as dawn comes, they hear a guy on the beach. And the guy on the beach shouts, "Lads! What? Did you catch anything?" "Nothing!" Loose translation from the Corkies. "We caught nothing, Lord. We caught nothing." And he said, "Throw your nets out the other side." You'd imagine that Peter goes, "Hang on a second, where have I heard this story before? This is starting to feel a little bit familiar." And they say, and then Peter says, "Lads, I think I know the gig here. Throw the nets on the other side." They throw the nets on the other side. They catch a huge catch of fish. They're hauling him into the boat. And then Peter turns to the lads, points to the guy on the beach and says, "It is the Lord." Jumps out of the boat, swims to shore and has breakfast with Jesus on the beach. Ah. 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 The fisherman. You know, sometimes it's a miracle. Someone you love or long for needs a miracle. I was talking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago. They were looking. I was praying for them that God would move in their life. They needed a miracle to show that God was alive. And then they got the miracle. It was right in front of them. And without my saying a word, they said, "God has done this for me. I know God has done this for me." They just needed a miracle. Who in your life needs a miracle? The last guy I want to look at is perhaps one that maybe most of us can relate to. And that is Saul. Saul, who later became known as Paul, and calling him Saul because it was his name. What was Saul doing when Jesus came to him? He was doing the exact opposite of what Jesus wanted people to do. He was going in the exact opposite direction of God's plan and God's purpose. When Saul meets Jesus, he's on his way to persecute and, if he can, kill Christians in the city of Damascus. And Jesus shows up, and as he's going along the road, a bright light shines and he hears a voice, and it says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I love his answer. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." You see, when Jesus' people are persecuted, Jesus takes it personally. He takes it personally. But he was going in the opposite direction. How many people that you know, love, and long for are going in the opposite direction to the way God wants them to go, and yet he gets arrested on the road. He gets met by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God transforms his life, and the one who persecuted the church ends up building the church. Why don't we pray for the people that we love and long for? Maybe some need to hear his name. Maybe some need to hear their names being spoken. Maybe you should break bread with someone and their eyes will be open in that conversation. Maybe someone needs to see Jesus, dream about Jesus, experience and encounter him. Maybe somebody in your life needs a miracle. Why, instead of praying, "Lord, will you meet them?" Lord, give them a miracle that they can't deny. Give them a miracle they can't deny. Or most especially for the person who's going in the opposite direction. Lord, will you meet them on the road they're on? Will you meet them on the road they're on? But you know, here's the important thing. We're going to pray for that in a second. You know, Jesus said this. He said, you know, you're familiar with the story of the Beatitudes. You know, Jesus told the Beatitudes, they're the blessed bees, or the blessed are's. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know those ones? Yeah. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed those are who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when people curse you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. But it's not the last time he gave a beatitude. It's actually in John's gospel is the last beatitude. We looked at the story just a second ago. Thomas sees Jesus, sees the wounds in his hands, sees the spear wound in his side, and he falls before Jesus and worships and says, "My Lord and my God." Let me talk about your life for a second. Maybe you doubt that you'll get the breakthrough that you desperately need. Maybe you doubt that you'll get the healing that your body needs. Maybe you doubt that there will be provision for you to build the life that you know God wants you to have. Maybe you doubt that you'll meet the person that you can love and build a life with. Maybe you doubt that you'll ever have children, or that maybe the laws of infertility will overrule your life and your plans and your dreams. Maybe you struggle with that. But you know what you do? You keep going. You keep worshiping. You keep serving. You keep praying. You keep giving. Because this is what Jesus said. The last of the blesseds is this one. He said, blessed. Oh, did I turn it off? I didn't. This is the last of the blesseds. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Maybe you don't see it today, but you can believe anyway. Maybe you struggle with doubts today for your breakthrough, but you can see it anyway. Maybe you're struggling to see Jesus, but you can see him anyway. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep asking. And maybe for the person that you're praying for now, maybe the person you're longing for, they don't see Jesus. But with your prayers, with the intervention of God, they will see him too. Can I get an amen? Amen. Will you stand with me? We're going to worship, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing. Is that okay? So let's, just before we sing, let's close our eyes wherever we are inside in the room. Maybe this morning you're here. You're here this morning and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about. And maybe you have doubts in your head or in your heart about the stories that we're talking about, that we're all getting excited about. But maybe today is the day when you can take a gamble, take a risk, and say, "Lord, if you're real, come into my life. Lord, if you're really there, come into my life, take hold of my life, change me and use me." Can we close our eyes? If you're here in the room today, if you're here inside in this hall, in this throng, you want to say, "Lord, I want to take a risk on you. I want to say, Lord, come into my life, show me your reality, show me your real, show me your power, move into my life." If that's your prayer and you haven't prayed it before, will you raise your hand wherever you are inside in this hall? Will you raise your hand? I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see six hands raised in the hall. I see six hands raised to say, "Lord, come into my life and show yourself to me." Can we all pray collectively together? For those who've raised their hand, that way that gives them cover so that they can pray aloud too. So wherever you are, you can pray this prayer alongside us. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you as I am, doubts and all. I ask you to come into my life. If you are real, transform my life. Forgive my sins. Become my leader. Become my friend. Become my Lord. I open my heart to you. I open my soul to you. I open my life to you. Forgive me and make me new. I pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you got a situation that you can't see a breakthrough in right now? Maybe you're struggling to see and believe. If you've got a situation you want to bring before the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't see where the breakthrough is coming. I don't see where the rescue is coming." Will you raise your hand wherever you are? Just keep it up for a moment. I'm going to pray for you right where you are because our time has moved on. Will you raise the other hand with us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning just as we are, Lord. You see us, doubts and all, struggles and all, gaps and all, flaws and all. Lord, you take us as we are, but you don't leave us as we are, Lord. We pray, Lord, we would see a breakthrough. We pray we would see your reality. We pray we would see your provision. We pray we would see your healing. We pray we would see your deliverance at work in our lives this coming. coming week, Lord, we pray, so that we may be also able to testify that we have seen Jesus at work. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name, and God's people say, amen. Can we sing the song and then we're going to pray? Is that right? We're going to sing, I praise in the valley, I praise on the mountain, then we'll do another prayer.
Thank you.
If you wouldn't mind, could I ask you to take your seats just for another few moments? You may not be aware, but there's a whole load of people upstairs in the overflow who are watching, including some of the people about to get baptized. So can I ask the guys getting baptized, can you make your way down now? Just while we're waiting for them to make their way in, here's a couple of notices that are happening. On Wednesday week, we have our Alpha group, 7:30 to 9:30 in the cafe. And this is all about people who want to explore Christianity. Maybe you're not sure, or maybe you're a new Christian and you want to establish your faith, or maybe you want to look at it again. So that's happening on Wednesday week, runs for 8 weeks, it's free, and we have a great team who'll be delighted to welcome you. Something wonderful that's happening in Grace. As you may know, we've had a great men's, and we have a great men's group in Grace. We have marching men, firemen, and 4 times a year the men at the church get together. We did a big fire out in our courtyard, about 6 weeks ago. We had a great time, barbecue. But the women are doing something as well. Here is a video about what's going to happen. It's called Soul Sisters. If Denise and Dara could make your will.
Her body, her soul, her spirit, her passion and potential, her nurture and creativity, her instinct and empathy, her strength and wisdom, her desire to live and excel. She is believed in, and her story and place matters. We champion the feminine heart in all her beauty and brilliance. Soul Sisters, woven together.
Hi church, as Tom said, we do, we bless the men in our lives and we bless the guys and the men in Grace Church, but this is for the ladies. myself and Dara and a number of ladies have been spending a lot of time in prayer and hearing what God wants us to do. And we believe this is the season where God is inviting the ladies of Grace and all ladies who believe in God, that is for, let's say, ladies of girls of 15 and up, to an event. This is the first event, the first of four that we've planned for this year. And we're really excited about it because, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you just have to obey. And we have an evening, the first evening we've planned. And after that, we're basically, let's say, submitting it to the Lord, and we have ideas, but we know God is going to direct our steps. But the first evening, it's about fun. It's definitely about friendship. We have a word that God has definitely put on our hearts, and we have time planned to spend in the Holy Spirit, time with the Holy Spirit, time to be together as women of God and hear and spend time in His presence and to hear what the Holy Spirit is leading us. So please, ladies, I'd really invite you to put this time in your diary via, we're asking to you go on, it's a free event, we're asking you to go on via Eventbrite, but if that's not, you can do that, then come up and there's there'll be a sign-in sheet here. So I'm really, really excited and really looking forward for us as Soul Sisters of Grace to see where God is going to take us on this journey.
Are we excited? Where are the women and the girls? That's all I have to say. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Dara. Thank you, Denise. One final notice is that if you'd like to make a donation, tithes and offerings, you can do it at any of the orange boxes in the building with cash. You can use the debit card machine, so you can go on your phone and type in givenumeral2.graceireland.ie, and all of the money that's sent here goes straight into the work. So it's audited by the government. There's nothing funny going on here, because we'd be found out straight away and God would find us out. So all of the money is accounted for. So if you'd like to support, we would be honoured to receive it. We are going to serve coffee and hot cross buns and chocolate, but we're going to do it as soon as the baptisms are over.
So if you need to go in a little while, God bless you and God bless your week. But if you can stay, we'd love you to stay, particularly all the families and friends of those who are getting baptized. But everyone is welcome. Lots of hot cross buns, chocolate, coffee and tea upstairs in just a moment. But what we're going to do now is we're going to introduce you to the 20 people getting baptized. Now, hallelujah. I think we had a similar number in September, and we'll be doing more baptisms again in September. We don't baptize babies here. We pray a blessing over the babies and the kids. But once you're 15 and over, you're old enough to decide if you want to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope everyone here will make that decision as well. And so then we baptize you by full immersion. So over here to my right, that's the door we're going to go down. But I'm going to ask Dara. Dara, you're out there somewhere, my love. Could you come back? Could you give me the cards 2x2? And what we're going to do, I'm going to call up each of the 20. Now, two people this morning asked to be baptized, and they weren't on the original list, but I know you're born again and you're over 15. So if you're out there, this couple, I won't say your names in case you're not sure, but if you want to be baptized, we'd love to baptize you as well. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit just moves. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call up the people getting baptized. And when you come up, you just come up the steps, down those steps. And can you stand here, guys, at the front, because we want to pray for you. First on the list, I have Reinhardt and Daniel. Reinhardt and Daniel, could you make your way up, lads? Beat your way through the crowds. Woo-hoo! This is Reinhardt. Give him a big round of applause. This is Daniel. Well done, Daniel. God bless you. Could I call up Saoirse and Noah? Saoirse and Noah. Cohortica Sakara. And can we have Noah as well? Noah Evans. Give Noah a big round of applause. Hallelujah. Our next two are Matthew and Angel. Matthew and Angel, would you join us? Matthew, who is 18 tomorrow. Hallelujah. And could we have Angel as well, if you could make your way up, Angel. Remember, all these guys have gone through the preparation and have been praying, and God has brought them to this great day in their lives. This is Angel. Give Angel a round of applause. Could I also call up Franklin and Alan? Franklin and Alan, could you beat your way through the crowds? This is Franklin, he's decided. Hallelujah. From Portlaoise in the Midlands originally. Could we have Alan as well? There you go, Alan. God bless you. Like to call Olivier and Camille. Olivier originally from France, Camille originally from Poland. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who'd say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
When Jesus gets your heart, it's hard not to go on with him. Hallelujah. Two more guys, or guy and a girl, Ju Young and Lindy. Ju Young and Lindy. And this is Lindy. Give Lindy a round of applause. Two more, we've got EJ and Zach. Let's put it together for EJ and Zach. Hallelujah. Praise God, is this EJ? Congratulations, EJ. And this is Zach. God bless you, praise God. I'd like to call up Mary and Alejandra. Mary and Alejandra. That's it. Put your hands together for Hannah Andre. Praise God. I'd like to call up Blessing and Timek. Blessing and Timek. There you go, Timek. Congratulations. Praise God. And last but by no means least, Paul and Rachel. Paul and Rachel. Put your hands together for Paul! Do we have anyone else? I know there was another couple wanted to get baptized, but up you come. Put your hands together for Brian and Angeli! You're just coming up to give me love. We'll get you a card. God bless you, Angeli. This young couple are only in Ireland, only in Cork, under 2 weeks. They've just moved here, came in the door, and straight away you just go, gosh, the Lord is moving in them. So they decided today. Give them another round of applause. So brothers and sisters, these are 22 people on Easter Sunday. I tell you, we're witnesses, but more than us, Jesus Christ is watching, and he's looking into all these hearts. Do you think they have the odd doubt? Of course they do. But Jesus is even more powerful. Amen. We just have to be ourselves with him, and he'll do the rest. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray over these guys now. So I'm going to ask you guys, Cameron, do my help. Would you get into an old scrum or something, just squashing together here? Just squash you all here in together. Just move over. That's right. Nobody will rob your money. You're safe out. Just come on up. You can turn your back to the crowd. They don't mind. Just come on. Let's make a circle. We're going to do a big prayer of blessing. And as soon as we're finished the prayer, I'm going to ask. We had 60 volunteers who are going to form the Guard of Honor. Could you stand, you 60 people, just so we know you're there? Well done. And if you want to join the Guard of Honor, you're welcome to do it. Remember, we go, so you 60, I'm going to ask you to make your way out now, just to the stairs, before we pray with the guys. And as soon as we finish the prayer, if you need to go, God bless you. But if you're joining us, you go up the side here. But we want to pray a blessing over them. So could we all stand, and if you're comfortable with it, just point your hand towards the guys to join in the prayer. Are we ready? I'll ask again, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus, we thank you for each one of these 22 people that you called each one by their name. Alejandra, Timek, Matthew, Camel, Noah, Saoirse, Daniel, Reinhardt, EJ, all the other guys. He's called you by name. And we here today, thank you, Jesus, that you have begun a good work in each of these. So on this historic day in their lives, that they will remember forever, I pray you would do something powerful in their hearts this day. And I ask you, God, that you would release a double portion of blessing into their lives. And as each of them go through the waters, the old person is being buried and the new person is rising up out of the water. Who'll say hallelujah? The old Brian is dead. The old Angela is dead. The old Angel, the old Ju Young, the old Zach, the old Olivier, the old Franklin, you're dead. And the new one is coming up out of the water. And so we pray in this moving and powerful time. Can we pray together the ancient prayer that believers have been praying for probably 5,000 years? Let's pray together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said,
amen.